Hey, we're here with Keddy Kearns from Resilient Kids, Raising Highly Capable Kids, or Focus on the Family.
Yes. All of them.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
And I have never met you in person, but we've talked on the phone like a million times. And then about 5-6 years ago, we were working with the Sheriff's Department Special Victims Unit, and we were going into homes, and we have a little collective group at Focus on the Family that helps us with endeavors, right? So we've done adoption, foster care. And I called them up and I said, okay, I need your help. I said, we need parenting classes, but it has to be compatible with statewide agencies, Children, Youth, and Family, and our Sheriff's Department. And they go, Clay, do we have the deal for you?
Nice.
You remember that?
I do. And it was such an answer to prayer. And it has opened up a lot of doors for not only Aspen Project, but the gospel in and of itself.
So tell us about what you do for Resilient Kids. Just give us the whole layout. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pick it apart and let people know how to get involved.
Right. So we are kind of part of Focus on the Family. Resilient Kids was birthed out of Focus on the Family about 13 years ago. And I don't know if you know that Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, he grew up in the foster care system. And so always in his heart, he knew that there would be parents out there that desperately need that help. But they would never come to our website. They would never call our counselors to get that need that they so desperately have. And so because of that, we created Resilient Kids as a separate nonprofit organization. And there were two main goals for Resilient Kids. One was we wanted to work with the parents. We wanted to engage the parents. We wanted to empower them, right? And we know that the schools, churches, counselors, we can all do such amazing things with the kids. But we need to have that parent involvement in their life for it to be really successful. And so that was our number one goal, was the parents. Number two was we were going to work in the local communities. Because if you are going to have real transformation, you need to work with those that are meeting those needs. It's not going to be up here. You know, we need to work in communities with nonprofits, schools, churches. And so that's what we do. Resilient Kids had that vision in mind. And we do that through our parenting curriculum, which is called Raising Highly Capable Kids. And something interesting about Raising Highly Capable Kids is that it actually piloted in Spanish.
Yep.
Hijos Altamente Capaces. Because before we even created the curriculum, we went and we served different communities to hear what the pain points were, what were the challenges. And so when we went to Santa Ana Unified School District, we met a principal that had the same vision. And so we told her, if we can create this curriculum, can we pilot it in your group? And she said, absolutely. The important thing about piloting it in a high needs area, at the time when we launched Raising Highly Capable Kids, there were 90 gangs that were actively recruiting kids from the schools. We had teen pregnancy, we had violence, dropout. So it was important for us, because we wanted to create a curriculum that had that impact, for us to be able to be successful in a high needs area. So we started in 6 elementary schools there in the district, and it was a success right from the beginning. And so from there, we're now in 39 states. Wow. We also graduated parents in 5 different African countries. And Egypt as well. So the program is in English, Spanish, Chinese, and Arabic. And the funny thing about Egypt, when they did the class, they're not used to a class that is so interactive. And they were like, no. You're the teacher. You give us the answer, and we write them down. And they're like, no, we're going to talk about these things. They absolutely loved it so much. Now they want all the other courses to have the same model, right? But so we graduated also classes in Mexico and in just so many different places. And the reason why the curriculum translates so well into different cultures and different languages is because it's based on research. So we based Raising Highly Capable Kids on the 40 developmental assets. And these are 40 building blocks that every child needs to be healthy, caring, and responsible. And so this is the backbone. This is what is taught in the curriculum. We want the parents to know that their children need these things to be successful.
Now, those were developed by the Search Institute.
The Search Institute.
And did over 5 million studies of children. So they kind of know what they're talking about.
Yes.
A little bit. So it's based on science.
Yes.
And then it's an evidence-based. I remember when they first said that. It's evidence-based. I went, well, I'm not sure even what that means. But that means it had to go before a review board at a university.
Well, actually, we hired RMC Research to follow the program in 3 different communities for a whole year. And so they interviewed the parents, they interviewed the children, they had surveys, and at the end of that, they gave us a report, 146-page report. But two of the things that I like to highlight from that report is that the parent the 40 developmental assets, they are divided into 8 categories. Half of them are external assets, those things that affect a child from outside, like your friends, the neighborhood, your family, and then half of them are internal. So there's 8 categories. And RMC Research noted that the parents were able to learn about these assets, but they were able also to learn how to implement it in their homes. Mm. So that was a huge win, because you can always gain knowledge, right? You can
That's
always
right.
take a class, but actually implementing is hard. The other thing that they found was that they noted that children were gaining assets as a result of their parents changing their own behavior.
Mm.
Because, you know, you can't teach something that you're not modeling.
Right?
Right? And so we have a lot of parents that are saying, wow, before I can teach this to my child, I need to do better. And so what we're seeing is transformation starting with the parents, carrying it over to the children.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
You know, me and Michelle have taught this class several times, and every time I go through it, it makes me feel a little guilty.
Because,
well, and let me share with you why. Because I realize that I can sharpen, you teach it, I know it, but it's something you should always go back to, because, you know, we started it with at-risk youth and families, but it's for families, period, the end. It's not for at-risk. It just happens to work for everyone.
Right.
And at-risk families have less of these tools, so by providing this. But, you know, if you're born on Wall Street with a silver spoon in your mouth, this class is for you. And
exactly.
If you're born in the ghetto, this class is for you. It's the same principles that hold true to everyone. And, you know, one of the things that I was told, and you correct me on my exact numbers, but if 30 or more of these assets are taught to a child, they are 80 or 90% likely to be successful or a community leader in life. And if they have less than 10, which is a lot of the kids that we work with, a lot of the kids today, then they are 80 or 90% likely to be a menace or a problem to society. And it's just these simple principles. What I love about it is it doesn't tell you step by spank your kids, don't spank your kids. It just says pour this into your kids and they're going to turn out okay.
Right. And I think the secret sauce of this program is that it's dialogue based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's research based, it's evidence based, it's also dialogue based. And what happens during these conversations is those aha moments,
mm-hmm.
those moments of awareness where you go, wow, I never knew that my behavior affected my child this way. Or I never knew that I was just carrying on a pattern that has been given to me. And so when you are aware of those things and you can change that, you're already going to do better for yourself and for your children, right? And for me, I've taught the classes at the Dream Center, at schools, for immigrants, women that have been trafficked. And I absolutely love that moment where, because we all want to do well for mm-hmm. our children, but so many of us are struggling with trauma. Mm-hmm. So many of us carry those things, and we don't know how those things affect our life and our parenting. And at some point you in the class, you start looking at that and going, wow, but you know what? I have a say in how this is going to impact me. Mm. I have a say in what that story is that I'm writing for my children, for my family. And it's very empowering to parents to know that. The other thing I love about the classes as they're going through it with other parents mm-hmm. that are maybe going through the same thing, right? And so what you get is a group that is supporting each other, that is encouraging each other. And where do we have that in society anymore, you know? We're so quick to judge, mm-hmm. right? We're so quick to point out, and yet here in these classes, we're here for you, we're going to champion you, and we're just going to help you be a better parent and a better human being, really.
I love how in each lesson it has a little profile or story of a family. And I know the first time we went through it, I was like, wow. Like, this sounds like my family growing up. Yeah. And it really helped me to understand that my family today does not need to look like the family that I was raised in. And not that I came from this horrible home, but being able to realize that there were some things that I don't want to repeat, and I need to figure out how I'm going to change that. And instead of reliving the past, I could simply look at these developmental assets and go, oh, this was missing, or, oh, we really had this. And it was just so helpful to hear those profiles each week and to be able to talk with parents when we would go through them with parents and they say, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much that impacted me growing up, or I didn't realize that I could do better. So, and that is the hope that this curriculum carries. And that's what every parent needs, is hope.
Yes.
You know, it really is a plug and play too. So anyone listening to this that needs to put it in your church, needs to put it in your community, because we have the Sheriff's Department doing it. We have Albuquerque Police Department doing it.
Mm-hmm. We have elementary schools in town, at-risk elementary schools. We have some chaplains that aren't deploying out of country, so they're staying in New Mexico and facilitating the classes.
And it's truly a plug and play. You know, Focus on the Family has done an amazing thing, not only with the research, not only with very complicated subjects, very complicated, right? Because parenting ain't easy. Mm-hmm. And yet they've made it so that within an hour, and we're very respectful of our people's time, at the end of that hour, it's beautifully come across with a PowerPoint. And I'm not a huge PowerPoint guy, but they've done it in such a way that it's easy to follow. And then the interaction that happens with the people,
so easy.
Like you said, that's where the magic happens. You can see sparks. In the first couple classes, people are like, yeah, I'm not going to share. By the end of the 13 weeks, isn't it? Everyone's
weeping,
like
weeping, crying.
It's amazing, and it's changing the parents to change the children. And it's breaking chains or a cycle that, if you go back four or five generations, it's a cycle that's happened throughout all of them. And you're giving them the tools to make a difference in their child's, their grandchildren, and their great grandchildren's lives.
I also love the format in which, you know, we come, we eat together, like a family. And initially, we were figuring out budget and saying, okay, 13 weeks, we're going to have to provide meals. And by week three, everyone had signed up to bring a meal. And we had, 30 people? I think we had 30 people in our class. So folks were bringing a meal for 30 people. Wow. Actually, it was more than that because we had childcare also. So we had childcare workers and then everyone's kids. So it was probably more like 50 people. And it was just so beautiful to see everyone.
We love you, Chick-fil-A. And you're not paying on this podcast.
But just to even feel that sense of family and eat together and share, and the walls come down for folks to be able to, hey, I remember you mentioned this. And it gives them time to kind of talk it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
You know, another point, and I'm going to let you take back over, but it's if I go to a community, right, and the communities are different. And here in Albuquerque, if the west side is different than the north side is different than the south side. Let's just, it is. But when you have people sitting in that room, the plug and play that it does fits everyone, but the conversations that go on between the people are about their community, mm-hmm. their troubles that they may not experience on the south side of town. You know, the north side is experiencing completely different. It's all different. But what I love about it is it allows people to formulate this curriculum to fit their life with the help of everyone else that's in that room.
Exactly. And you mentioned that it is for everyone. And we have Chinese classes graduating.
I'm so excited for this.
And yes. About half of them were men.
Wow.
Because it's research based. Mm. They all came, but they're all doctors, pediatricians,
amazing
professionals, right? And we had a story of a man. He stood up and he said, you know, I've always known that I was going to teach my son how to drive. That was a given. I was going to do that. When it was time, I put him on the calendar, and the day came, but we didn't have a good relationship. So we got behind the wheel, and we were just fighting it, right? Plus, careful with, my car. It was so bad that his son just got out of the car and refused to keep going. And then he started raising highly capable kids, and he realized he actually had to prioritize his son.
Over his car.
Over his car, over his schedule, over his job, right? They have to be a priority. And so in taking this class, he started doing that. And so just trying to work on his relationship with his son. And towards the end, he said, son, we're going to try this again. And the son's like, oh, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. It went well because their relationship was so much better because he was, aware now that you can't just put a child in a box on your calendar. Mm-hmm. You actually have to give of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that is so beautiful.
Well, the principles fall into marriage. It falls into good
work
environment. It falls into life itself. It's not like 5 million studies of children, right? They're just young. You know, they grow up in to be adults. And the changes that happen in the parents, we see. You know, it's hard to tell the stories 15 years later when the kids are grown. We'll get statistics someday. But I know that it's working because you see the change in the parents. And you see marriages strengthen. And the kids are happier. It's really amazing to see. Now, one of the things you said is that it was initiated and started in Spanish. Was that in Houston?
No, in Santa Ana. It was piloted and it launched in Santa Ana, California.
But the beauty of that is that it's really, if you take English and try to translate it, so we've had some translators, right, that are not from They speak Spanish well, but they don't speak it from the community in which we're going to, and there's a loss of translation. Taking English and translating it into Spanish, there's always a loss, but taking it from Spanish and translating it into English, there's not. And that's a beautiful thing. And we've had several Spanish-speaking people that the appreciation that they give because it was initially started for them is huge. And then the understanding of it is massive.
Yeah. And whenever I do trainings for Hispanic communities, I let them know, you know what? I am so proud of you because you guys were the first one in the country that said, we need help. You loved your family enough to say, we need help. Bring the program here and we will work it. So we launched it with the Hispanic community. And you know what? We also, during COVID, we pivoted to Zoom classes. That was also a Hispanic community as well out of Denver. They were
we did
sessions.
That here too.
Yeah, they were
not with Hispanic community, but we did with the community centers.
Yeah. So we had them in the community centers for our public. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yes, and so they were like, we're on session 6. There's no way we're going to stop. You got to figure out how to do it on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And you know the beauty of that, too, as well, is that they learned how to even get on Zoom, how to learn online, because we were all learning
technology
all that. Remember
knocks
that?
Me in the head. The fact that we're talking into a mic that I made work is a pretty miracle. That if you want the existence of God, it's just that I can do technology. But... that's true. Zoom is really taken over how we do things.
Yes.
And I still love doing it one-on-one. The fact that you're actually in front of us, it's good.
Yes, I prefer it in person. But Zoom, those classes that we had, we even had a national class where we have parents from 9 different states taking the class, and we graduated 35 parents. But it was a time when parents were looking for answers, looking for connection, and we were right there as resilient kids, and I'm so very proud of that.
Yeah. Tell us a couple more stories. What came out of this curriculum, and what changes you've seen? Not to put you on the spot.
One of the classes that I graduated, one of the men that graduated was the father of a school bully. And the way that he was brought into the class was he was invited by it. And sometimes we are so scared to invite families that we think would benefit from it. But he was invited. And I remember the first 2 weeks, he was like, I don't think we need this. I think our family is just fine.
Which is proof you need it, by the way.
And on week 3, where we talk about the category of support, I had them bring a picture of somebody that had supported them, that had made a difference in their life. And he said, I didn't do my homework because I never had that one person. Mm. And during the class, you could see the mask coming off. Because he realized, okay, so I didn't have that, but I should and I need to be that for my son. So the switch and the transformation, which happened even during the duration of the class, was that whenever there were behavioral problems, which there were a lot with his son, the father started going to school and talking about it. And the school had never seen that. And so they were like, whoa. What happened? Where is this coming from? And so it was so beautiful because the school was so appreciative that the dad was taking the initiative. At the end of the class, he transferred his son to another school to give him a new start, a new story, right? The big difference there is that now that son has a father that is willing to be there for him. That is going to be engaged in that. And that was just, to me, so beautiful to see that.
Wow.
Right? Love this. So it's needed everywhere. If you care about your children, it's needed. You know, I'm thinking about our last 3 podcasts, right? So we had Linya Heitzig with Reload Love, and they go in the terrorist-ridden areas, and they build playground sets so that moms and kids can have a normalcy. But you know what? That falls back to a parent being able to be a parent in unbelievable circumstances, right? And then we just had Nick McKinley with the Deliver Fund on. And you know how you protect your children? You be the best way is to be good parents and to be vigilant. And now we're having you. And it truly is a connect the dots. It's the family matters in every one of these situations. And one of the things that the resilient kids, the first video you watch is to be a nurse, you have to go through all of this training. And to be an electrician, you have to go through all of this training. And then it shows to be a parent, oh, you don't have to have anything. You just have to hook up. It doesn't quite say it that way, but that's what happens, right?
Yes.
And it says, but that's the most important thing in the world. And what this class does, and I really want anyone who's listening to this, and listen, you don't have to be a church. You don't have to believe in what we believe in. The curriculum is science-based. It works. And to get it in front of our community makes a difference in the lives of our people. And so much so that if we can influence the parents and break that cycle, our children and our children's children, because we change the life of that child, will be better because of it. You want to change the world, you change our children. But to change our children, we have to change our parents.
Exactly. And I think it's also, we need to note that it is a fun class.
It is fun.
Our parents love doing life together. And you think, wow, 13 weeks, that's a long time. You're going to be a parent for your whole life, right?
So true.
And so it's definitely a good investment. You're going to love it. And you're going to be able to create community. That is specifically important for a lot of immigrants that are coming in. They're leaving community behind, right? A lot of them have to isolate if they're living in a dangerous place. One of my parents, she gets home from work and she tells her kids, you get home and you don't leave. Because their neighborhood is so, so very dangerous.
Sounds
right?
Like where you grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I told her, I said, the church is doing the class. That is a perfect place for your children to feel safe, right, while you're taking this class. And so it's empowering, but it's also fun.
Where do you come from originally?
Originally, I'm from Colombia.
Colombia,
South America. I grew up, I learned English in Damascus, Syria.
Wow.
Then I went to school in Israel, in Jerusalem, Herzliya, Nahariya. And then I graduated from high school in Islamabad, Pakistan.
So cool.
And then we moved over to India. So
wow.
That has been...
Do you speak Arabic?
I don't.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, no. When I went there, I didn't speak English.
Because I know you speak Spanish quite well.
Yes. Yes. But I love that our Father, our Heavenly Father, gives us all those experiences so that we can use them.
That's right.
To help other people. And so I'm able to see things a little bit differently, and that helps me to connect those experiences that maybe were not so good and those are so good. And so that has given me understanding, wisdom, and love for a lot of different people. So I just thank God for all of those little pieces that He put into my life that make me who I am today, right?
Yeah. So we ask everybody this. If you were going to speak to the whole world, now this isn't for you. I mean, it isn't for your company. It's for you. If you were going to speak to the whole world, the rich of the rich and the poor of the poor, because the podcast blew up and you get to talk to everyone, you have a message for them, what would it be?
I would say the family, at the end of the day, is all you have. Even if you have a great job, at the end of the day, your children and your wife need to be there. And so first God, and then your family. And, just feed into those kids that God has given you. And also, don't leave your wife behind. Love her. Empower her. I love it when we can do ministry with our spouses. And just being that and doing that, I think that we can reach and empower people for the love of Christ, but also for healing in people. And we need healing so much today in today's culture. So just husbands And wives, be present for each other and be present for your children. And at the end of the day, just make sure that you guys, as a unit, as a family, are honoring God and honoring yourselves.
So good. That's and that is a voice of a lion, folks. So where we go next, we're going to be bringing a lot of this into our community. And if you want to bring it into your community, we will have the links below. Hey, just for fun, what I'd like you to do is I want you to give a message, kind of what we briefed over, 100% in Spanish, and we will keep this on the air, and I will actually do a separate posting, and we'll get it out on YouTube. Are you ready?
Sure. So talk about the program in Spanish.
You tell us whatever you want to tell us.
Let me switch it over here.
Click.
Okay. Bienvenidos, es un gusto hablar con ustedes. Quiero compartir acerca de este programa que se llama Hijos Altamente Capaces. Y Hijos Altamente Capaces es un programa de crianza para los niños. Es un programa de 13 semanas y está basado en encuestas. Estas son 40 elementos que sus niños necesitan para ser saludables. Así que en estas clases de Hijos Altamente Capaces, usted va a aprender acerca de estos elementos que sus hijos y su familia necesita para ser exitosos, pero lo vamos a hacer en grupo. Vamos a aprender el uno del otro y también nos vamos a apoyar. Creo que los grupos hispanos son los que mejor hacen este material de Raising Highly Capable Kids, Hijos Altamente Capaces. Así que me gustaría invitarlos a que nos se comunique con nosotros y averigüe cómo puede traer las clases de Hijos Altamente Capaces a su iglesia, a su escuela, a su grupo pequeño, a su familia. Y nosotros estamos aquí como Resilient Kids para servirles con mucho cariño.
Thank you so much. Now, today's episode was brought to you by Compassion Vacations. And I have you do that in Spanish specifically because in July, we are traveling to Puerto Vallarta. And if you would like to sponsor this young lady traveling with us, you can go to aspenproject.org, and what you're going to be doing is just put a note in your donation that you would like to sponsor us bringing highly capable kids into Puerto Vallarta and impacting the families there. So thank you. If this has impacted you, please share it with some friends, and we will see you on the better side of you. This episode and the request of our listeners has inspired Michelle and I to start a new podcast, Voice of a Lion Parenting Edition. It's really going to help you on your journey of being a parent. So listen, we'll put the first one on Voice of the Lion, and then you'll be able to link over to Voice of a Lion Parenting Edition coming soon.